Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the spirited Queen Mary with author Nicole Strickland. What I found interesting as I'm reading the book, like, because at first, I think the first general area you talked about was the pool, and I'm like, that right. is so haunted. Then I read along, I'm like, that area is so haunted. Then I'm like, okay, they're all really haunted.
I know.
There's not one place that seemed to have more paranormal experiences that people have reported than another. There's just been so many active locations on the ship that I don't even know. Like, if you were to, I guess it would be kind of like with you. You just have to go back, you know, narrow it down to this place this time. And next time I go, we'll focus on this area.
That's true. That's very true. And I think a lot of why certain areas are reported more is because those are highly traveled to on the tours, or the aft engine room, the boiler rooms, which are now not really open to just walk through yourself. But the aft engine room, the former first and third class pool, certain public rooms, those are highly traveled on the tours and in the paranormal investigations. So, of course, logically, those are going to have more reports.
Right.
Now, there is a haunted rooms list, and the Queen Mary was very gracious to allow me to include that, and that's in Spirited Queen Mary. So, basically, people have recorded and reported certain types of personal encounters or whatnot in various rooms. But even if a room isn't listed as, you know, on that haunted rooms list, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have an experience there. And I'm of the belief that even though certain spirits are known for certain areas, like, for example, Jackie's more known for being witnessed and encountered in the former first and third class pool, but I've seen her and have heard her at other places as well. So I do think a lot of the energies there aren't just limited to that one area. They may be known for an area more so than another spot, but they can be encountered pretty much throughout the ship, from my experience.
And with your abilities, because you just said you've seen her, is that kind of a common thing for you to see an apparition, or is it generally not surprising to you when you do see one?
Generally, or just
generally,
you know, I've always, since a young child, I mean, I think we're all intuitive. I think all of us have the ability to channel spiritual energies. Just some people are more, I guess, practiced at it or more open to it than others. So I've always had the ability, but yes, I have some of my most profound sightings of shadow figures or full-bodied apparitions have been on the Queen Mary. I have at other places as well, but there's a lot on the Queen Mary. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've been there so many times, and a lot mm-hmm. of the intelligent energies might know who I am. It's
true.
Interesting. When I've gone on, there have been many times when I'll step on board, and within the first 5-10 minutes, I'll hear male and female vocalizations, "Hi, Nicole," or I'll hear, "Nicole's here." Now, am I projecting that? I don't know, but it's happened several times.
You know, I was just talking with a woman in another episode about, you know, and that was about a Goatman's Bridge, and she's done a lot of research on the area and has
right.
been there, like you with the Queen Mary, hundreds
right.
of times. And I said, you know, the difference between Becky and you and those locations, your respective locations, is that you know these stories that other people don't. And so you know more about Jackie than I do. I mean, I read about Jackie in the book, but I don't have experiences with her. So it's almost like these other people in this group, they don't know a thing, but Nicole knows who I am. And I thought, I would think that right there, just knowing their story would attract them to you.
Yeah, I think that, and I think this applies to everyone, I should say, maybe not everyone, but many people who know the location and who've kind of are a resident visitor, I should say, that have gone over several years. Yes, a lot of the energies are going to feel comfortable with and know that person. I do believe that applies to me. I'm also very respectful of them, and I advocate for, you know, their respect and reverence, and I think that they know that. And that, again, that applies to other people that do the same thing. So I think you're spot on in that regard. And it's interesting with Jackie, because I've been asked over the years, do you think she's real? And we don't know her origins. The late Peter James felt that maybe she drowned in the second class pool, which was stripped in the Long Beach conversion. That's now where the 43 theater is. So maybe that happened. I don't know. Did she come through from the Titanic? Was she somehow a stowaway? We don't know where her origins. I do think that she's real. Is there another, like, psychokinetically created Jackie just from the scores of people going in year after year wanting to experience her, kind of like a hologram of her? Maybe, maybe not. But I do think that she's real. It's interesting, too, because I've had a couple of dreams where Jackie has come through as an adult. And I don't know what this means. It may mean nothing. But one dream, I was on board the Queen Mary, and this blonde woman, maybe about 20, came up to me, and she kept saying, "I'm Jackie." And I said, "Well, no, you're a little girl, like 6 or 7 years old." She kept saying, "I'm Jackie." I don't know if there's meaning to that. So was she an adult when she passed and now comes through as a child? I have a different take on her, though. I do feel in many ways that she's the spiritual ambassador of the ship. Other energies seem to know who she is. It's almost as if the Queen Mary appointed Jackie to be the spiritual ambassador. I know that may sound weird to some people, but that's a thought I have. You know, I don't know if there's obviously no way to prove that, but just a thought I have over the years.
Now, Jackie, obviously one of the more prevalent spirits on the ship, but it seems like no matter where you go, you can encounter something.
Of course.
Do they seem kind of contained? Like Jackie seems to be in that one area, but I guess maybe you could pick her up someplace else.
You can. And my theory is that especially with the intelligent energies, I think that they may know that they're known for certain areas. So they're going to go to that area because they know people are associate them with that specific area. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they can't go somewhere else. I mean, I've encountered Jackie throughout the ship. A former crew member I'm not going to say his name out of respect for the family, but he was an 18-year-old crewman from Skipton, North Yorkshire. And he was a fireman bilge cleaner who tragically died in the aft engine room on July 10th, 1966. A lot of people will say that they encounter his spirit in the aft engine room. I have encountered him throughout the ship. So, you know, it depends on the person. It depends on a lot of things. But yes, they're not just limited, in my opinion, to like a certain spot.
You even mentioned that Winston Churchill has been seen on the ship.
He has, yes.
Which I found fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Even people will smell. He had a very strong, he liked to smoke very strong cigars. And so people will smell phantom cigar smoke by his suite. Now, I have a couple interesting stories. So there's a suite named after him on M-Deck, starboard side of M-Deck, the Churchill suite. One time, I've shared this before, there were maids cleaning the room one day. I forget what year this was. This was many years ago. And they said that an older man appeared in the room. And then they said that the man floated. Well, they said there was a man there. I'm trying to get the story straight. A man just appeared kind of in spirit form. And then they noticed that there was a picture on the wall and that the man that they saw matched the man in the picture on the wall, which was Churchill. And then they said the man floated, kind of dissipated and floated right back into the picture, which was Churchill. So again, that's a story from one of the maids. People have heard disembodied voices in the room, smelled cigar smoke. He's been spotted on sports deck, on sun deck. Go figure. He was a big integral part on the Queen Mary,
right,
though.
I mean, in a couple different ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he signed the D-Day invasion papers, yeah, on board the Queen Mary. So, you know, he was very integral in World War II. He was responsible for, partly responsible, of course, for increasing the troop capacity. So, you know, she slowly went from like 5,000 to 10,000. And at one point, it was July, the voyage of July 25th through 30th of 1943, crew and servicemen combined of 16,683 people. And she still holds the record for that to this day.
I mean, think about that for a minute.
And there's pictures. You can just look like, up the pictures and see them all standing there.
Insane.
Yeah.
16,000 plus.
Yeah. There you go. Standing room only. They had this, interestingly, during World War II, there were many reasons for this, but to help control the large amount of troops, they had sections. So it was a red, white, and blue section. So some troops were assigned the red, others the white, and others the blue. And they were mandated to stay in those assigned sections. They were only allowed to leave if they had work duties. And so it was this revolving system. And so a lot of, and I think it's in my book, RMS Queen Mary, Voices from Her Voyages, which is not a paranormal book. I interviewed former crew and passengers and war brides on their sailing stories and memories aboard the Queen Mary. And there were a couple of stories from veterans in there where they discussed they'd be in line to go to the mess hall, which was in the former first class cabin class restaurant on our deck. And they'd be in line to go eat lunch or eat breakfast. And then when they were done, it was almost time for them to eat lunch. So it was like big revolving system. And it was done for many reasons. But yeah, so it's insane to have that many people on board.
And with as many times as you have been on the ship, which I find so impressive, I just want to go one time, Nicole.
Oh, well,
I would go two times or three times. I mean, it is a little harder for me. You live in the area, and I'm like halfway across the country, literally.
Oh, my gosh. I would love for you to come.
We would have the best time.
Wouldn't we, though? Oh, my gosh.
But I don't even know if you can narrow down a couple really interesting experiences that you've had.
Oh, there are so many. So many. I usually share the same ones on shows just because they're so profound. Let me try to think of... I'll share a newer one. And so this actually was captured last year at this time. I believe it was July 8th. And I was staying in aft side of A-deck, starboard side. And so I decided just to do a brief EVP session. And so I was getting the sense that there was a serviceman with me. So then I started asking questions. And at one point I thought, okay, could he be from the Curaçao? So just a quick recap on that is that during the war, the Queen Mary would go on these zigzag patterns throughout the oceans as a way to avoid German U-boats and whatnot. So on this day, October 2nd, 1942, she was on a number 8 zigzag. So her World War I escort cruiser, the HMS Curaçao, was on board that day. And so what happened is the compass was off by about a couple of degrees, and that ended up around 2:10 p.m., what happened is the Queen Mary hit and sliced in half the Curaçao, and over 300 of its British sailors perished.
Mm.
And so during this EVP session, I said, one of my questions was, are you from the Curaçao? And then I get a response. Of course, it was EVP. It was not heard at the time. But when I reviewed it, and this is an example of this being historically relevant, I get an EVP of a young man saying, I tried to miss the ship. So that would suggest that he would be on the Curaçao, because they would have never said, refer to the Curaçao as a ship. I tried to miss the ship. And so that's correlating to the not only to the questions I was asking, but I was asking about the Curacao and the Queen Mary, and that came up. And so when I heard that, I got goosebumps, just complete, total goosebumps. Another interesting story, I'm sharing some newer ones. I was on board this last December with my friend Eric, who's also a paranormal investigator in San Diego. And we were in an area known as the propeller room. So you're in this area, you're actually outside of the ship. They created this enclosure so you can look down and see the propeller. And so a lot of people have experiences in there, from seeing, hearing disembodied voices to seeing shadow figures. There was a story that my friend Tony, who was a former crew member, told me about, I think it was a former captain. Someone saw his face appear, kind of like, and float upward. So a lot of stories with this. And again, you have the water component as well that may draw in some of the energy.
True.
So we were doing an experiment. I was hearing Jackie. So I thought, okay, maybe she's here. And so Eric and I started to sing Ring Around the Rosie. And I have another great EVP of capturing this as well in the former first and third class pool. But we were singing Ring Around the Rosie, but we left in the main verse, we left the word down out in hopes that, you know, someone from the ethereal realm would answer. So we were singing, you know, Ring Around the Rosie, pockets full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall. And then disembodied, we heard a little girl say the word down. And then again, it was... Actually, this was EVP. It wasn't heard at the time. I take that back. So it was an EVP. Later on, when I reviewed it, we hear, and it sounded just like Jackie's voice. She has a very distinct voice. We heard her say down. And then I, after that, because again, I didn't hear it live, I repeated, we all fall. And then someone else answered down. But again, we were there by ourselves. There was no one else. There's the Their Finest Hour exhibit just forward, but we looked, there was no one down there. The rudder control room is aft. There was no one there. So,
and if it would have been a person, you would have heard that.
Yes, exactly. And it wasn't whisper. It was, these are loud answers. But then, as you know, if you pull it up and I use Adobe Audition and you look at the spectral view, you can tell when a living person is talking, because you have the little vocal cord nodules, right? So I mapped out exactly in the spectral view where these two EVPs occurred, and there's nothing. The Hertz level is lower. So that right there suggests that it's, you know, something spiritual. So those are new experiences.
Do they keep track at all of, and how could you? Like any kind of log, like, or website, if you have a paranormal experience, share it with us here.
You know, I've been talking about that for years. They should. They very well should keep in. And I think by doing that, of course, there are going to be experiences that can be explained away, of course.
Right.
But at least you'll have the log, and then you can start to compare and contrast.
Because that would be interesting.
They should. They very well should.
Because as many,
I know, I've tracked my own over
exactly.
the years, so I have my own. But yeah,
and it's interesting because in the book you share other people's experiences. It's not all just your own.
No, that's right. There's a lot in there,
and you just think it can't just be people making all this stuff up. You know, they're getting similar experiences in similar places on the ship.
Exactly. And I think that obviously some experiences or some captured evidence can be explained away. But when you know the location and you know the history and you know the paranormal activity so well, I can tell in talking to these people that, you know, they're not making this stuff up. Because, and like you said, in many ways, there's a lot of similarities to maybe myself or another person that I've talked to that has had something similar.
And you know quite a few paranormal investigators. And so, you know, and obviously a lot of them are going onto the ship and gathering information. So I found that very interesting that you shared some of those other stories.
Yeah, it does the book justice. It wouldn't be fair if, you know, I'm just including my own. It's a collective effort because so many people have had experiences and have reported these types of encounters. And so, you know, and we know that history is just a huge foundation for why certain places become so paranormally active. And with the Queen Mary, I mean, she has unprecedented history.
Mm-hmm.
And so that plays a lot into it as well. I mean, there's all kinds of different theories I share in the books as to why, you know, I get asked the question, why is the Queen Mary so paranormally active? Well, I don't think any one of us can truly answer that, but there's different theories that we can apply, and history is one of them.
I agree with that. I think that the answer would be, why wouldn't it be?
Right.
Like, tell me the reasons why it shouldn't be paranormally active, because that list would be a lot shorter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then earlier I said, you know, the time capsule. I feel like the Queen Mary is such a big time capsule. There's the magnetic aspect. Even sitting in water, water being a natural conductor of electricity, you have the iron, you have different parts of the ship. My friend Tony Ashlin, who I mentioned previously, he was a tour guide on board. He now lives in New Mexico. And he's an amateur radio operator. So he shared this theory with me. And I do share this. I believe it's in Spirited Queen Mary, Her Haunted Legend. I share his theory that he feels that the Queen Mary is one big giant transmitter and receiver of energy. He said, look, you have the miles of copper wiring. You have the grounding plane in the bridge, in the wheelhouse. And you have the quartz crystal in the ceiling of the former first and third class pool. And he's like, you know what? Those are all the components needed to make this like a crystal radio. And I thought, gosh, that's so profound, Tony. So
that's
I asked
true.
Him if I could talk about it in the book. He said, yeah. So, and he's had a lot of experiences too. Oh, and another thing, people have had experiences with departed loved ones on board, myself included.
That weren't connected to the ship in any way?
Exactly. Not connected.
Some are, some aren't. What happened to you?
So one time I was walking down, and this was more or less a feeling of mine. Tony has an experience that's a little bit more, I guess you could say, believable in the sense that it was a sighting. I was walking down the Queen Mary one time, and this was at a time when I was doing research, I believe, for my third book, RMS Queen Mary, Voices from Her Voyages. And all of a sudden, I felt walking down the hall with me was my grandfather, who was a medical officer in World War II, not on the Queen Mary. But I really felt his presence very strongly. So that's the experience I've had. Tony actually saw the spirit of his departed aunt on board one day. And I've heard stories from other people as well that they've experienced departed loved ones while on board.
That makes sense to me because, you know, in regular day-to-day life, we're busy, we're working, we've got to, you know, pick up kids at school, got to get some groceries, got to go here, you've got agatas all day long. But when you're on there and you know that there's paranormal activity on the ship, I think you would just be more open to people you love coming through to you.
That's
makes some
sense
to me.
That's a very good point. I agree wholeheartedly.
And your grandpa would have loved to take a tour. Well, Nicole's going to be there. I'm just going to show up.
You know, if he were alive, and he was in the war, he was a medical officer on the USS Ormsby. And he was, he would talk about how there would be these 18 very young men, 18 years old, dying from wounds. And all he could do was give them morphine. So, you know, and he would write letters sharing his experiences during the war. So there's that connection with the war. I felt him very strongly walking right down the hall with me. Just super strong.
And of all places to feel him, that makes sense.
Yes.
Because he would be fascinated by it. Because he would know the history.
Right. He may have known people that even traveled on it, too. I mean, he's not alive for me to ask. I mean, I could still try to ask him, but I mean, you know, it's great. It's incredible.
writing the three different books, was it kind of you got done with the first one and then it was like, I want to use a little different angle on the second one, a little different angle came to you for the third one?
It did. And I knew I wanted to write all three, but for the second and third, it was almost as if the Queen Mary was kind of urging me on because I have this really strong connection with her. So the first one is basically just a historical overview and a paranormal overview of her paranormal activity. And the Queen Mary was gracious to allow me. They had from like the late 1970s to the present, or up until that time, they did have a log of people sharing experiences that they've had. And so I was given this like 150-page document. And so I selected some stories from that, and the Queen Mary gave me permission to republish those. And so that was in the first book. And then Spirited Queen Mary, Her Haunted Legend, is a sister book to that, where I delve more deeply into the paranormal side. I talk more about my experiences, a little bit more on the resident spirits, you know, who they are, kind of theories about them. And then, like you said, in other people's experiences as well. And then I wanted to do a book that didn't include the paranormal in it. And so that was the third one, RMS Queen Mary, Voices from Her Voyages. That took about 2 years to do because I had to interview former crew, former passengers, war brides, veterans. I even was given permission by the Canadian Museum of Immigration to republish some war bride stories from the Queen Mary. And then the Titanic International Society gave me permission to republish two maiden voyage stories from the Queen Mary. I believe it's Patrick Bennett and Heather Beegsley. So that's in there as well. So that book was really great to write. And I am working on a second volume of that if I can get enough stories. If not, it'll just be a second edition.
Is there another angle on a book that you've kind of got in the back of your mind?
Oh, there is one, but I wouldn't want it to take away from the tours on board. I was thinking of doing maybe like a kid's book.
Oh, I love that idea.
Queen Mary for kids. Yeah. I just wouldn't want to take away from the tours or things like that, but possibly that, maybe like a kid's book or something like that as well. We'll see.
What I find so cool is that it has to be a really awesome feeling, as connected as you are with that ship, and then you walk into the gift shop and you see your books there.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that amazing every time?
It's surreal and very amazing. And I go in there and, you know, all the books, there's a lot of books there and they're all fabulous books. My friend Patricia Davis wrote a trilogy, The Secret Spice Cafe. Her books are sold there. There's James Radford did like an ABC coloring book. There's all kinds of books that are like amazing there. But to be told by the staff, oh my gosh, we love your books. They fly off the shelves. And, you know, it's heartwarming. It kind of, you know, brings a little tear to my eye every time I go on board.
I just love that so much.
Yeah. And my mom and I are going next week. Get this. My mom's been on board many times, but she's never spent the night. So we're spending the night the 17th and 18th. I'm so excited for her.
Oh, I can't wait to get updates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be posting, girl. I'm going to be I'll be posting. Yeah. So doing videos and stuff. So
now, for someone who is not going to the Queen Mary in the near future, but they would like to read the books, is the best way to go through your website, or is that one of the ways? And then you could go to Amazon or your favorite bookseller.
Yeah, you can go to Nicole D. Strickland. I did have a website for the Queen Mary. I'm kind of redoing another one, and so that website's not up yet. So yeah, you can go to my website, NicoleDStrickland.com. There's links. The links will go to, you know, Amazon. They're on Amazon. They're on Barnes & Noble. Pretty much all the online retailers, they're on board. And then, of course, on board the Queen, or not on board the online retailers. You can get them online, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatnot, but then also on the Queen Mary as well.
And then join her Facebook page, the group page. We love the RMS Queen Mary. And then you will post a picture. You're all dressed up on the Queen Mary doing some party or something. I'm like, oh, Nicole.
I need to be more active on it. Yeah, I need to be more active on it, though. But if you want to post something, you know, about the show today or whatever on there, feel free.
Yeah, join the group. And it would be interesting, too. Anyone who's had an experience on the Queen Mary, share it there. Or
yes,
write in. I would love to hear your stories anytime.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah. I think the handle is at We Love RMS Queen Mary.
Okay.
So I know it's a long handle, at We Love RMS Queen Mary.
Awesome. So, well, Nicole, yeah. Once again, this was an absolute pleasure. I knew it would be. And
Thank you so much. You're lovely. I love you. I just love you too.
And so can't wait to figure out what we're going to talk about next.
Oh, we'll figure out something.
that will not be a problem.
I know, right? We'll think of something. And I'd love to have you on my show, too, when I get it up and running.
Well, and let me know so we can get the word out about your show.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for taking the time with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I always enjoy talking with you.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Spirited Queen Mary with author Nicole Strickland. You can get more information about Nicole at her website, NicoleDStrickland.com. You can find all of her books there on Amazon or wherever books are sold. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you can find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.